Look, there's a way that
Love
is going
on. Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
With our arms
Spirit of the living God fall fresh right, so I can walk right, so I can talk right, so I can live right, so I can be right. Fall fresh on me to recognize that the only way that we as the body of Christ can be right to get together and do the things of the Lord is if the Spirit of the living God is present with us. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington live here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is a great, great, great day to be in the presence of the Lord and to commune with the sisters and brother, the saints of God. And so I am so glad to be here with you tonight, and I welcome you to the Light of Portland broadcast. I pray that you are in need of a touch from the Lord, a word from the Lord, some love from the Lord, because tonight that is what we are here to do, is to give praise and honor unto the Lord, to bless his holy name, to usher in his Spirit, and to let the body of Christ know, the people of God know, that the Lord is here and wanting to just be a blessing to each and every one of us that truly want to receive his love and are open to get just what the Lord has for you. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to receive all that the Lord has for me. I want to receive all that the Lord has prepared for me. And the only way that I can do that is to get into his presence. And so that's what we are here to do tonight, is to get into the presence of the Lord. But before we do that, saints of God, there is so many things that's happening in the city of roses, right in the city of Portland. And we want the saints of God to know that there is a light, there is love, there is a Lord that sits high but reaches down low, right into the city of roses, Portland, Oregon. And so we want you to participate in the events that are upcoming in Portland so that you won't miss the move and the presence of God. Amen. Amen. And so on December 6th and 7th, Evangelist Melanie Pickin presents Pick Your Battles. And it is happening again on the 6th and the 7th of December at 7 o'clock p.m. I cannot see where this is. It's happening at one of the Missionary Baptist churches on the 6th and 7th of Portland. I will send that information for updates so that I can provide you with all of that information. And then there is a five-generation service that is happening in the City of Roses that you don't want to miss. And then there is the Black Nativity. They opened on Thanksgiving night. And I don't know if you have ever made it to the Black Nativity, but they are such a blessing. The songs are just so phenomenal, and the actors are just so phenomenal, filled with the Spirit, not afraid to bless the Lord, not afraid to sing to his glory. And so you will truly be blessed if you come to the Black Nativity. It is happening, saints of God, November the 29th through December the 15th. It is a Langston Hughes production. It is directed by Jerry Foster, and the music direction is by Ani Allen. The tickets are $25. You can pick them up at the Framing Store on MLK in the police department area of MLK and Killingsworth. And it is being held at Bethel AME Church. I have been, and it has truly blessed me. And I want you to go and be blessed of the Lord. And then, saints of God, our next announcement is the Zolfo Christmas happening on December the 21st, 2019 at 8 p.m. There are many artists that will be there singing and just blessing the body of Christ. And I am having these announcements sent to me because I cannot see the address and location of some of the events. So I want you to know that it is happening. The Zolfo Christmas is happening on December the 21st at 6 p.m. And I will get that address for you shortly. And then the Gift That Heals is a presentation by Ani Allen happening at Emmanuel Church. It is a production that she has made herself. And if you've ever seen any of her plays, you are truly in for a treat because she really puts together some blessings to the body of Christ. And all are welcome. It is a free event, and it is held, again, at Emmanuel, and it runs December 22nd at 7 p.m. Amen. And then there is Gospel Christmas that is coming up Friday, December 13th, 14th, and 15th. And you can go online and just put in Gospel Christmas. It is held at the Arlene Schweitzer Concert Hall in Portland. It is phenomenal. You don't want to miss that. There are so many things that's happening within the city of Portland that is to bless the body of Christ. And you just want to get into the midst of the saints of God so that you can receive the gathering of the saints spirit that comes when we gather together. It's different when you receive that individual spirit, and it truly blesses us. But when we gather together as saints on one accord and the spirit falls in the house, whew, what a move of God. So we would not be here if we did not give thanks to the Butterfield, Stephen and Ann Butterfield, that provide us with this platform to minister the word of God to the people of God that is in need of a word from God. Amen. And so we are grateful to the Butterfields who are part of Light of the World Covenant Fellowship Ministries under Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and Light of the World Covenant Fellowships. So we give her love and greetings, and we just want to say thank you so very much for allowing the City of Roses to have a broadcast to spread the word and the gospel to the body of Christ. We truly are grateful. I want you saints to be in prayer with me. I will be traveling to Jamaica tomorrow morning for Holy Convocation Jamaica. And so just be in prayer because, you know, there are a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening, and we as the body of Christ need to make sure that we hold each other up in prayer. And then also know that we're in the process of building Christian schools in Africa, and we want to be a blessing to the body, and we want to make sure that the children have the option to learn of our Father, our Savior, the one that shed his blood for us, and the Father that allowed him to come to shed his blood. And they have to pay for schooling, and so if they can't afford to pay for schooling, they end up at Muslim schools that are free. And so we want to make sure that we have Christian education in Kenya. And so if you would like to donate preparing the ground for the Christian schools, you can email me at pastorpennington@gmail.com, and I will send you that information. Again, it's pastorpennington@gmail.com. And then if you have any announcements that you would like us to put on the broadcast so that you can let the saints of God know what is happening in the ministries that you are a part of, just email either myself, PastorPennington@gmail.com, or PastorBlack@gsmbc@yahoo.com. Amen. Amen. I know that was a lot of announcements today, but we know that it is that time of year that we need to be in prayer for the people of God, because this is the highest time of depression and sadness and suicide. And so we want to make sure that we are reaching out to those that may be alone or may be down or may have lost family members in this time. So we need to keep our ears and our eyes out to be loving on those that may be thinking about leaving this earth shorter than what's expected of them, of the timeline that God has given them. And so you guys be prayerful, body of Christ. Make sure that we are loving on one another. Well, are you ready for the word? I'm ready for the word. We have our very own Elder Catherine Brown that is bringing forth the word of God tonight. Amen. We are excited because she is the woman of God that is on fire for the Lord. She hails from St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, and she also fellowships with Vancouver Avenue Baptist Church. And we just know that when you get the Word of God stirred up on the inside of you, the fire can't help but explode out of you. And that's what our elder does. She is one of those people that gets on fire for the Lord. When it gets down on the inside and it starts stirring, the fire starts bubbling up and coming forth. And so we want to prepare you for the word of God tonight. Amen. And so after prayer, the next voice that you will hear is that of Elder Catherine Brown from St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Father, we come before your throne of grace tonight to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion, your grace, your mercy, and all that you have done for us. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, we know that if it had not been for you on our side, our path, our destiny would not be anything like you designed for our life to be. And so we are grateful that you have placed us in the palm of your hand. Now we ask you that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, Father. Allow us to be ready to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Holy Spirit, you are truly welcome into this place. Welcome to each household that is listening to the broadcast tonight. Welcome us, oh God, Holy Spirit. We welcome you into our hearts, into our minds, into our spirits, and we want you to move that we may hear you, see you, feel you, and follow after you. And Lord God, we ask that you would be a blessing, oh God. We pray that you would bless our country. Help us, oh God, to get it right, oh God, that we might prepare to come home to you. We ask you, oh God, that you would bless this country, oh God. Bless the people that dwell and the government that is over us, oh God. We ask that you would begin to allow them to hear from you and follow after you. Lord, we pray for Israel that you would allow those that are a part of that culture, Lord God, to be ready to move and be blessed of you, ready to be covered and be heard by you, ready to be filled and anointed by you. And Lord God, we pray for the woman of God that is bringing forth the word tonight. Oh God, use her in a mighty way. Help us, oh God, to know that you have sent the word tonight, oh God, and that the tongue, Lord God, that proclaims the word, oh God, is a tongue, oh God, that hears what the Spirit says and delivers that word. Now we pray that pressed down, shaking together, and running over will we be filled with your word, with your love, with your compassion. Oh God, and we pray right now that if there is sickness, that you would remove it. If there was hurt, that you would heal it, oh God. If there is pain, you would take it away, oh God. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would bind the enemy, oh God. We rebuke and we declare and decree that nothing shall by any means come to us that would cause us hurt, harm, or danger, oh God. Now make our feet like hind feet, oh God. Let us walk among high places, oh God. Send forth your angels, oh God, that we might see them, oh God, and declare what the Spirit of the Lord is seeing and doing, oh God. Now we ask for your angels, allow them to encamp about us, oh God. Bless our hands, bless our mouth, bless our bodies, bless our jobs, bless our home, bless our finances, oh God. Bless our churches, bless our children, oh God. Bless the ground we walk upon, oh God. Bless us, oh God, that we, oh God, can stand and declare that the Lord is still in the healing, delivering, and blessing business. In Jesus Christ's name, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Woman of God, woman of God, preach the word. Oh, woman of God, you are live on the air.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Good evening. Hallelujah. Praise your name, God. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to come together with my sisters and brothers. One more time, Pastor Sherelle, thank you. And I want to also just echo what you said about God's blessings through the Butterfields. We thank them for underwriting this radio ministry. I feel full tonight because I'm just filled with gratitude. I happy belated Thanksgiving to everyone that's listening. And I think about how good and great God has been to me and to us. And there's just so much that we need to continue to praise him for and to give him thanks for. I'm overwhelmed, overcome with gratitude and thanksgiving for who Christ is, who what God has done and what he's continuing to do. And I'm praying that on tonight as we go into this message, we don't lose any of that momentum from your opening prayer to recognize that while this season can be a difficult season and a difficult time, a down time for many people, God has a word that will lift up the souls of all humanity if they have an ear to hear. And so we pray that God will fill us up and keep us full so that we can stay on that front line and speak life into our brothers and sisters, saved and unsaved, whether they're up or down. We need the Lord, and we need to give him thanks. So tonight I'm going to be coming from the Old Testament. I'm going to be coming from Esther chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 17, but may refer to other passages. And just wanted to also recognize that as we think about the mindset, the mood, if you will, of some of our brothers and sisters in the house of worship and those that are outside, we recognize that Jesus is still the reason and the answer for this season. And not only do we want to give him thanks, whether we feel like it or not, we recognize that any day that we fail to praise God is a day wasted. And so as we get into this word from the Old Testament, we also just want to thank God and ask that we ask him for a fresh and new revelation from Esther chapter 4. And from the English Standard Version, it reads, "When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city. And he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. And when Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. And jumping down to verse 12, it says, and they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Amen. The word of the Lord is blessed. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this first Sunday in 2019. God, we are filled with gratitude for who you are. Oh, God, for all you've done and what you shall do according to your word. And as we consider, oh, God, this first Sunday in Advent season, our hope remains rooted and grounded in you and your holy word. Take full control, Holy Spirit. Use my mouth, my mind, and me, all of me, God. And I pray that as our hearts and are open to this word and we incline our ear, that we hear what thus saith the Lord. All these things, God, we claim and ask in the matchless name of Jesus, who is our Christ and sovereign Lord over all. I pray these things. Amen. And so tonight, as we look at the fourth chapter of Esther, we recognize in reading the whole book of Esther that the main focus is on a man named Mordecai and on his cousin Esther. And Esther was an orphan whom Mordecai adopted and was raising as his own daughter. They were both descendants of the original Babylonian captives. And from their example tonight, I pray that God's revelation of how we are to recognize and then act on the word of God and the revelation of God on taken from this true historical account of how God, through Mordecai and Esther, prevented the total annihilation of his chosen people. To illustrate tonight, Holy Ghost, have your way, how the importance and expedience and urgency it is for all of us to recognize God's call on our lives and the wisdom of surrendering to and following his plan. And as we think about Advent, and we think about, well, what's the connection between the book of Esther and this first Sunday in Advent? Well, the Old Testament, my brothers and sisters, as we know, is a foreshadow of what is to come in the new covenant. God came down, we know, from heaven to reconcile himself to us. But in this passage tonight, in this season of post-Babylonian captivity, we find Mordecai and Esther, who were finding themselves in Persia, and Esther finding herself as someone that was called or chosen by God to fulfill a purpose that was greater than something that she recognized until her very existence, and I should say until the very existence of the Jewish people, God's chosen people, was threatened. And so we see tonight in this passage that there's a conversation that has resulted, there's an event, a circumstances that have fallen, that have called God's chosen people to be under great distress and in great peril, and in fact so great that there was, the scripture tells us, that they were fasting and praying and lamenting, weeping and crying out to the Lord. And we ask ourselves, well, what was it that had happened? Well, we find in this book of Esther that Haman, who was like Pompeo today, the Secretary of State, we find Haman, who was at the right hand of the king of Persia, who had conned the king into issuing an edict to destroy the Jews. And Haman was controlled by the spirit of Satan. Haman had rage and anger against the Jews, and this hatred had been in existence between Haman's forefathers, the Amalekites, he was an Agagite, and of the Jewish people. As we think about why Haman, the Secretary of State back in that period of time, persuaded the king to issue a decree that all of the Jews should be destroyed and all of their property and belongings taken. Haman was upset because Mordecai, and let's look at Mordecai, a Jewish man who had taken in his cousin, who was an orphan because her parents died, and raised him as his own daughter. Mordecai would, as Haman would walk past or walk through the city gates, Mordecai would not bow down and give him reverence. Now, I don't know if Mordecai wouldn't bow down like all of the other people bowed down, because Mordecai recognized that as a Jew, he was not to worship or give reverence to any other God, man, nothing before God, could come before God, or if Mordecai didn't bow down because years and years and years ago there was a great battle, if you will, between the Amalekites and the Jews, and the Jews were supposed to destroy the Amalekites, did not, and their descendants continued to harbor resentment against the Jews. We don't know from this passage why Mordecai wouldn't bow down. What we do know is that an evil spirit influenced Haman to cause the king, who had taken Esther as his queen, to put out a decree to destroy all of her people. And the passage, of the section of the passage that the Lord was speaking to me tonight about, really leads into this first Sunday in Advent, because if we think about the history of God's chosen people, first the Jews and then Christians today, Gentiles who were grafted in, we think about the fact that there's been a battle that's been waged between God and Satan through the ages, from the beginning of time, when the devil was cast out of heaven. There's a battle that's being waged, and the devil has always been sitting back wanting to destroy God's people and destroy the prophecy that was told in the Old Testament and the New Testament about Christ our Savior, about a child, a Messiah that would be born. This Messiah that was a descendant from the line of David came out of the Jewish nation. And so as we see in the Old Testament, this battle, if you will, where Esther, who has been promoted, if you will, elevated, if you will, to the position of queen, but had not disclosed her Jewish heritage to her husband, the king. Not many people other than those she took into her confidence knew that she was a Jew. Mordecai, her uncle, had told her not to disclose that, and Esther, as an obedient daughter being raised by him, followed everything that Mordecai, if you read chapter 1 through 3, everything that Mordecai told her to do, she followed. But yet we see her in chapter 4, where it has come to her attention that this decree has been put out to destroy her people. And here her uncle is having a conversation with her about the reality of the Christian journey for each and every one of us today. And that is, as we look at this verse 12, when Mordecai said, "Do you not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews?" Satan wants to defeat Christians. Amen. Satan is defeated. But nevertheless, we see throughout Old Testament history and New Testament history where the promised Messiah who came through the line of David, came through his Jesus Christ, Jewish, who came through that nation all along the continuum of time, just as it was prophesied in the book of Genesis, the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, has tried to thwart, to stop, to hinder, to detour God's plan. But God has raised up a nation and a family, a kingdom of people that Esther, here in the Old Testament, was reminded by her uncle. You might be sitting in the palace. You might have made it to this high station. You might believe that you are insulated somehow from this decree. And in the Old Testament, when the king made a decree, that was the law of the land, and it would be done. Amen. The only thing that could change the decree from the king would be a different decree. And we see Esther being aware that any person that would intend to go into the presence of the king without being called would be subject to death. If the king did not welcome that individual or those people into his presence, it could result in immediate death. We find Esther recognizing that she has to do something, or she's being taxed by her uncle to do something that she's fearful about, recognizing that death could sit on the other side of it. But in verse 14, where Mordecai says, "For if you keep silent in this time," hear me tonight, brothers and sisters, we are the righteousness of Christ today. The Jewish nation in the Old Testament was the chosen people of God, those that reflected the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, that were to be surrendered to God, that were to live for God. Mordecai's reminding her, and we're being reminded today, if we keep silent when we're supposed to open up our mouths, to intercede like Mordecai at the gate, like Esther in the presence of the king, if we keep silent, God's providence, God's plan, God's intention will still be fulfilled from another place, even if we choose to remain silent. But that will not be good for us individually or for our family, because he goes on to say, "But you and your father's house will perish." And who knows whether you have not come into this great salvation that we enjoy today, that puts us into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, for such a time as this. Brothers and sisters, we see here that Esther, in her comfort and also in her distress, recognizing that her people could be destroyed, that she has to act, that she has to stand up and do what God is asking to be done. And I love it in verse 15 when Esther told the intermediaries to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews. Go gather all the believers is what this says to me. Go gather those that are members of the family of God. Everyone that can be found in Susa. And it's time to hold a fast. I need some people to be fasting for me on my behalf. She doesn't say praying, but we know as we read about fasting in the Old and New Testament, fasting was that time of worship to get closer to God, to seek God's face, to seek God's will, to understand God's revelation or instruction. It was that time to get real with God. It was that time to whatever's not right with us to be exposed in his presence. Esther's saying, get all those believers together and fast on my behalf. And by the way, not just any old fast. I don't want you to eat or drink anything for 3 days, night or day. And she says, not only am I asking people that are members of God's chosen people to fast and pray on my behalf. And sometimes today, brothers and sisters, we can fast according to the Spirit of God, according to what God's will is for our life, what he asks us to do. And sometimes it might be the internet, it might be TV, it might be shopping. There are a number of things that we sacrifice, that we give up in order to replace and fill that time with God, to stand in his presence, to just behold the beauty of the Lord. But she's saying this is going to be one of those fasts where you're denying your flesh, where you're denying yourself food and drink. And I'm going to fast too. I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not willing to do. And not only that, the people that are around me, that I've surrounded myself, they're going to be fasting too. And after these 3 days, I'm going to go to the king, even though I know it's against the law. And if I die, if I perish, I perish. I believe, brothers and sisters, we can hear Esther today say, I got to do it or die. I have got to do what I've been asked to do by God, or I'm going to die. And she says, if I perish, I perish. And the question that I believe as we think about, we know more today than Esther knew at that time. As a Jewish person who appears to be practicing the kinds of traditions and fasting that would indicate there was a relationship with God, that there was some intimacy with God, that there was some understanding that when my very existence is threatened, whenever all heck breaks loose, when there doesn't appear to be a way out of no way. In fact, the other side of this, if I don't do something, is everybody's going to die. Esther lets us know that she went back to that sure hope and that sure place of confidence that she knew that she was going to do what God had called her to do, and that she is being reminded, like many of us need to be reminded, and every day, God has called us for such a time as this. God has called us today to recognize out of this passage today that he is a God that has a plan and a purpose for our life. Yes, just like he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. Before you ever saw a day, I knew you. He says in the 139th Psalm, all the days of our life, before we were conceived, are written down in his book. We're serving an omniscient God, an omnipotent God, an omnipresent God, a God that knows all things, a God that created all things, a God that sustains all things, a God that sees the beginning and the end before we even know what appeal or prayer or question to ask. God has revealed himself to his humanity, and God has a reminder that there is a plan, and it's a good plan, a plan with a purpose, a future, and a hope, a plan not to harm us. God wants us to know that Not only does he have a plan and a purpose for our life, that if we just listen to him, get real close and get real quiet and have people that are willing to make sacrifices to intercede like the Mordecai's at the gate, that are not willing to bow down in the secular realm to the customs and the traditions and sell out to the world, but to stand up for what's right, for what God says we ought to do. We're his glory. We represent him, and he's busy reconciling lost humanity to himself through his word, through the Holy Ghost, through our lives that are being lived out and poured out like a drink offering in the world today. God said, he said, get into my will. Get out of my way and get into my will. Well, how do I know the will of God? I got to be like Esther. I got to be like Mordecai. I got to be like the children of God. Every now and then, I need to make some sacrifices. I need to bow down to God. I need to give up some things that are hindering my relationship with God so I can hear him and he can reveal to me what his plan and purpose is for my life, because he's already told me it's a good plan. It's one filled with hope and a future for my expected end. The second thing we see about what Esther's telling us about the reality of the battle that's being waged every day in the secular world system and in the spiritual realm is that there is a battle going on. And in the passage tonight, Satan was using Haman. I don't know who the Hamans are in your world today, in your life, I should say. I don't know who's trying to hinder your walk with God or to cause you to feel like you're going to be down and depressed when God says rejoice. I say again, rejoice always because I'm near. Don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all of my understanding is going to strengthen my heart and my mind in who? In Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the one that Haman, through the work of Satan, tried to thwart by trying to annihilate the Jews. Glory to God. God wants us to know that that plan that he has for our life is going to work out. And brothers and sisters, tonight, hallelujah, God reminded me in this passage that when we learn the revelation of Jesus Christ, when we learn the revelation of God and God's plan for our lives will change. It will change the way we live our life each day. I read something recently that struck a chord in me, and you may have seen it, but it said that the word that is the Bible will either drive you, right, or draw you. The Bible will keep you away from sin, or what sin will keep you away from the Bible. The Word of God, the Spirit and life, Spirit and truth, the Word of God. I'm believing that Esther, as a Jewish person who knew to fast and to appeal to God, probably, I would guess, knew something about what God's prophets had said in the Old Testament. They had prophesied that a Savior would come. And we sit here today in our high places, amen, in our low spot. We sit here today having already recognized the first advent of Christ, and we wait with expectancy, brothers and sisters, knowing that the second advent of Christ is coming. Esther could only hope through the Old Testament prophets that she was aware of, that Mordecai surely had spoken to her about, that Christ, a Savior, was coming. Well, we know by faith in the Word of God, through what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us through his Word, that Christ has not only came in his first advent, but he came, he lived, he died up on that cross for your sins and for my sins, and he was resurrected and now sits at the right hand of God. What? Making intercessions for you and me, just like Mordecai and Esther were interceding to God through prayer and fasting, or through fasting according to the scripture. We, as the family of God in the world today, anticipating the second coming of Christ, need to stay, brothers and sisters, in a readiness to recognize that he could come back at any time, and we need to be ready when he comes, and we need to be not only serving him and surrender to him, but we need to be filled with the truth so that when those people that God sends our way that are feeling suicidal, that are feeling depressed, that are feeling that they have no hope, that the hope of glory, Christ Jesus, that through the Holy Spirit lives in us, that we can speak forth the truth that is the only thing when a person meets Jesus Christ will change and transform our lives. God sovereignly ordained our purpose and our calling before the foundation of the world. And I challenged myself when I read this through the power of the Spirit to say, what is my purpose in the season that we're in? What is our purpose, brothers and sisters, while we wait a risen Savior who is coming back for a church, amen, that includes each and every one of us who have put our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ? God reminded me in this passage tonight that as we think about what God is showing us, we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to stand up for that we know God has moved through the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit through his word and our prayers to say or speak or intercede as a representative, as an ambassador of Christ in the earth and speak that thing to power, to people in power, people in position, people in the workplace, people in the body of Christ? Who and what have we been called to actually do for such a time as this? God is reminding us that not only will his plan and his purpose be fulfilled, that we need to guard ourselves to recognize that in our own mind, on our own self, we come up with many plans. But the purpose of the Lord God is the one that will stand. Amen. God is reminding us as we consider what Esther was challenged with and what Esther arrived at in her conclusion, that I'm going to stand up and do what I have to do. And I'm not fearing death because I recognize that death was defeated. We recognize that death was defeated by the sacrifice of Christ. Esther in the Old Testament had the prophecy, but we recognize today that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it some people say, well, that's easier to say than to do. And I suspect many of us would feel just like Esther. We would have to consider, what is this thing that is requiring faith? Oh, God, help our unbelief tonight. Oh, God, what is this thing that is requiring more courage than I seem to be able to muster? Oh, God, help me so that I can do what you've asked me to do according to the season and the time that we're in. God is reminding us that the plans that he has for each and every one of us shall be fulfilled. The plans that God has set in motion will be fulfilled. And I can hear him saying, whose plan are you working? Your plan or the plan of God? Whose plan are you standing up for? Whose word are you speaking? If God reminds us through this Old Testament truth of how God stepped in and interceded and not only gave Esther the faith and courage to go and stand in the face of what could have been sure death, surely the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever can give us that same faith and that same courage to stand up and do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. God is reminding us that disconnection between our confession and profession of faith and our conduct needs to go up to a higher level, because we recognize that the providence of God, that the plans and the purpose of God, that they will succeed. Hallelujah. That not only will they succeed, they and we shall be triumphant. God is reminding us of the power of intercession and the power of recognizing that if God be for us, who can stand against us? Everything that God has called to pass will succeed. And as I think about this last point, as I'm looking at this text tonight, not only does God have a plan and a purpose for our life, a good plan, a plan with a hope and a future and a plan to help us, God is reminding us that we need to recognize in the face of all adversity that, yes, God's plans will not only succeed, but his sovereignty, that his control over all things is yet still in full control. He's reminding us that he that is in me, he that lives and dwells in us, is greater than he that is in the world. He's greater than Satan. He's greater than everything in the secular realm. He's greater than everything in his creation. God sits sovereign above all things and wants to remind the church of God tonight that all things will indeed work together for the good for those who are called by God, for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. I'm excited tonight, church, because God is reminding us that not only is he in full control, that Satan, through Haman or anybody else, is no match for God. God will work through the weakest vessel, the weakest servant, and that weak person in God's strength can do all things and will never be defeated by Satan. And this principle, brothers and sisters, is working on our behalf, especially when we feel scared to death, especially when fear tries to creep in and take our focus off of our sovereign God, our triumphant God, and put it on the natural things. We're walking by faith, brothers and sisters, with courage and strength and power and the joy and love of God on our side. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. That is the message that God put in my heart for the church tonight.
Amen. Amen. We have got to stand up and declare what the Lord says. And if we don't, we can lose our lives and the lives around us. And so we've got to make sure that we are fasting and we are praying and we are seeking the face of God so that we could be in order, in place. And when the enemy rises against us, that we will be able to stand and the Lord will fight the battle for us. And it comes sometimes through that prayer and fasting, Elder Catherine. And so I thank you so much for the word of God tonight, because we, as the body of Christ, have to start asking the questions, how do we impact this community? How do we reach these children? How do we make a difference? When is it time for us to go to battle? Do we go prepare to fight and have to fight, or do we go prepare to fight and watch the move of God? The questions that we have and how we're going to make the difference, Elder Catherine, can only come through prayer and fasting.
Yes, yes, yes. Glory to God.
Amen.
God reveals everything. He reveals it to us. We can be filled up with the word and ready to fight the good fight of faith, and knowing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Even in this story tonight, ultimately the Jews were not destroyed. Haman and all those that hated the Jews, the enemies of the Jews, like today, the enemies of the Church of God, those are the ones that ultimately will be destroyed. But we've got to stay prayed up and fasting and fight the good fight of faith, recognizing the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Not carnal, absolutely. And Elder Catherine, I said to someone earlier today, if we as a people, and now I'm talking about people of color right now, are in the place that we are in because somebody, Willie Lynch, had a theory, put together a plan that would affect us to this very day. We as people of color and we as the body of Christ have got to come together with a plan to dispel what we have been in for the last 400 years.
Yes. Yes.
And the only way we're going to get to that plan. Yes. And the only way we're going to get to that plan that will work is through fasting and prayer and seeking the face of God and then doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah, we got faith works, right? We have to follow through like Esther did. We have to stare death in the face, recognizing that we're already victorious in Christ, but we have to be prepared spiritually.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about people running around saying they're spiritual. We got to be Bible. We got the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of God. Faith, putting that Word into action, is going to destroy the works of the devil, and it's going to exalt and glorify God, and it's going to make that impact. You're right, Pastor.
Yeah.
We might be a little like we're sitting in the palace. We might be a little too comfortable, but yes, I pray that for my own, what God showed me in this is don't get comfortable. Don't get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
But reality is, Be prepared to intercede and recognize that we see things going on in the secular realm in the world. We can pray the word of God according to those situations. God will reveal to us how to apply his word as the weapon that it is to cut through all of these things.
Yeah. And we need to prepare our hearts and our mind, because we as the children of God and we as mostly people of color have to get to the place and the understanding that it is not business as usual. We have only been out of slavery or segregation for 50 years, which is not a long time, 60 years, which is not a long time. And it is not time for us to get comfortable or complacent in where we are.
Yes.
And somebody has got to rise up to make a difference.
Yeah, and the reality is, as we tap into God's revelation and plan and purpose for each of our lives, just like Esther, he's got some things for us to do, big and small.
Yes.
There's nothing too small in God's kingdom. Everything is adding to the greater good of what God is doing in his providence. But you're right. We gotta tap into what God wants us to do and do it. And we know that his glory and his power will be made manifest when we do what he says. He'll equip us. It's already done, quite frankly, from God's perspective. We need to line up and do the work. And while we wait, don't wait just like waiting like, oh, well, I'm waiting and I'm not working. No, we got to work. We got to do the work of our Father like Christ. We got to do what God said do and finish our course. And ultimately, as God is working all these things out, we feel this great peace that I believe is heightened during this season of Advent, because the salvation that Christ gave us is the assurance that all of these things that he's already told us in the Old Testament and in the times past, they've already been made manifest. We can't do anything but trust that God will fulfill the rest of his promises. He's already told us what he's going to do, and we've got to do our part.
Amen. Amen. I hope that those of you who have tuned in to the Light of Portland broadcast has truly received from the Lord tonight. You need to pray and ask God, what is your purpose? What is it? Are you in the palace? Are you an Esther that is going to have to stand up and speak to those in charge and in power and risk everything you have in order to stand and save your people? Are you her uncle who is out and seeing what's happening and need to report back to those that can make a change and a difference? Where are you in the body of Christ?
Yes.
What is your purpose? What are you supposed to be doing to make a difference, not as a just a Christian, but as a people of color that have been held in bondage for so many years that it is not time for us to let our pants hang down and our feet drag the ground and get comfortable in where we are.
Right.
So I
especially
truly
those who think they've made it.
Yes, we have not arrived.
For those who have been given much is required, but sometimes we get to a sin to a certain place or station and we forget where we came from. And we forget that the reality is responsible. We are responsible to sow back and to give back and to bless back and to do whatever influence, whatever sphere of impact, whatever circle you can impact. Just start there. Start there because God has put you in those specific places for a specific. God does not waste our time, and he surely doesn't want us wasting. He has put and granted us where we can make an impact for the kingdom of God that will show the love of God to a perishing world, but will also defeat the plans of the enemy wherever it raises its head. And it's raising its head every day all around us. But we've got to do that prayer that you said. We've got to ask God. I cannot know everything, but what I can do is find out, God, what you want me to do. And then I pray that because he's called us to do it, we know that he promises that he will equip us. And so we have to look at the equipment and the purpose of God for making that assignment possible and successful. And that fear that hinders us, we have got to recognize that the fear was defeated when Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross. We don't have nothing to be afraid of, except for standing before a holy God one day and giving and being able to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful for a few things, or depart from me. I'm like, you know, Esther had to do it or die. You got to do it or die. And that death that sometimes comes with not doing what God has asked is spiritual death in the natural realm. But ultimately, there's a physical death, and then spiritually, ultimately, we pray, we all plan to be in the presence of God in all eternity because of the fact that we have this relationship with him and we are serving his purpose and his plan. I felt convicted when I read the passage. I was like, okay, Lord God. Okay, God, I hear you.
And lastly, saints of God, I want to say that you must remember that church is our filling station. It is where we go to be restored and replenished to go out to do the work. We are not going to church to just be made to feel good, but we're going to church to come together to hear as a community where what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, to get our instruction, to pour in and give us the strength that we need to go back out into the battle and do the work. We cannot just go and do church as usual. Go to church on Sunday and Bible study and be the regular person all the rest of the week. Go to church on Sunday and Bible study to get poured into so that you can pour out when you are out in the field. And so tonight I want to tell somebody about the Light of Portland broadcast. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, give the phone number out, forward the text messages, we have got to make a difference and an impact. And we want to do what God called us to do. And I said to a friend of mine, I am not getting any more whoopings by God. I'm not getting any more. And so whatever he calls for me to do, that's where I'm going to do. Wherever he calls for me to go, that's where I'm going to go. And whatever he calls for me to say to whomever, that's what I'm going to do. Because the whoopings he gives are not nice and not fun, and I refuse to get another one. And so we will be back next Sunday evening. And we will be back 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we want you to bring somebody along with you for the call. Put them on three-way. Just make sure they hear this live broadcast. And for those of you that want to play back the broadcast, you can send us an email to gssmbc@yahoo.com. Or PastorPennington@gmail.com, and we can forward you the link, and you can listen to the broadcast over, and you can send it out to whomever you would like to hear it so that they can get the word of God, and you can ponder on this word of God. And so tonight I pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of you. I pray that the Lord will keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you, giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. And Elder, we thank you so much for your blessing tonight and the word. And we pray that the Lord will restore back in you what you've poured out to his people. In Jesus' name, amen. And good night.
Amen.